Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Everybody, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I can't do it alone, folks. Wouldn't even try. Right here, me homie, Big Fizzy.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here directly to Cam's right in Skeleton Studio, sitting at this desk.
Should we tell them that we broke something again?
Yeah, again. Yeah, we're like Dennis the Menace.
We got some kind of cool thing that's the mic booster and all that we've been using, the cloud lifter, and then it just crapped the bed. I turned it all on, and it just part of it quit working. So if things sound a little off besides us, that's what it's from.
Yeah, Nick Everett Sweetwater is shipping us a new one. This actually crapped out earlier today, so... And I thought, you know, it's a very robust piece of equipment, well made. It's made right here in the USA.
Yeah. And
it just went out. But, you know, I mean,
I don't know what could have caused. I mean, it could have been anything. It may have been, and it may just be a fuse, but there's no way to get into it. And I was going to crack into it, but I'm like, nah.
Even if you did, you know nothing about circuitry.
What do I know?
So if the
I could just say, hey, look, it's burnt through. I know what's wrong with it.
Yeah. So we'll just have to make do with the audio the best we can for this episode, and then hopefully we'll be back in business.
Hope everybody is staying in the shade and staying cooled off up north. I know y'all are dealing with what we deal with. It's warm down here, but hey, look, we expect it. I mean, this is one of those things that, I mean, this is when we all get out. This is late time. Everybody's going crazy, but it's not been too terrible. Everything's been all right. What about you, Brad? I know you've been busy.
Yeah, I saw where it was extremely hot up in like Montana, yeah. Idaho, Minnesota. North Dakota, South Dakota, that area. That is crazy. I guess they're setting records.
Yep.
I've been pretty good. A human cockroach had another episode. He is currently in the, he's in a hospital in Toms River, New Jersey. Apparently slipped and fell and hit his head, knocked himself cold.
Kyle and I, look,
I know, I mean,
anybody new to the show probably thinks it's terrible that we kind of giggle about this. Go back and listen to a few episodes. You'll understand completely.
Yeah. So he
you can't
and
stop
fell,
him.
Hit his head. And they've been monitoring him. They're doing some CT scans and stuff. I think he's okay. My mom said he's okay, but they're keeping him for observation for a few days.
But you did get some rather disturbing news, is now they can't do surgery on him ever.
Well, right, because stroke. He had a massive stroke about, 17 years ago, I want to say, 17 or 18 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about right.
I know that because my wife has never met my father pre-stroke, so...
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, and so we'll be married in a month. We'll be married 13 years, and we've been together 17, I think.
So we're just right around
18 years ago. Yeah, it was like right before I met her. But he's fine. My mom called me and said that they should be releasing him come Sunday. This is Thursday, unless something happens. But, you know, he falls and hits his head. What it is he's overconfident. He thinks that he can just go anywhere, and he can't, and he falls.
A lot of people guilty of that.
Yeah, look, I'm guilty of the same thing. But I saw where several people have reached out to me, I guess, because they've seen posts and stuff. So I appreciate it. But yes, the human cockroach is alive and well. I actually have to fly up to Philadelphia probably late next week and then drive to my aunt's house, my father's sister in New Jersey, and then fly home with my parents or drive them home because my mom is a little bit frazzled. Having to travel with my dad in his
condition. I told you
so.
It would be a great thing to film and record if me and you went up and got him and drove him back home.
Oh, that would make an excellent episode. You know, if we did both go to Philadelphia, I've been there dozens of times, but I've never been to
I've been there zero times.
I know. That's what I'm saying. If we went together, I'd like to go to the Mutter Museum.
Oh, now you're talking.
It's like this museum of death and macabre stuff like that. It was. It looks very interesting. I'd like to do that.
Well, I'm open. Just let me know if you need some help.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
We'll take wheel time. We'll bring him back.
Yeah, that's what's going on in my world.
He'd be so mad if you and I both showed up to drive him home.
My mom said he's terribly. He's mad now. He doesn't want to even be there. Which I get it. I don't like hospitals either.
No,
but they're like, dude, they can't let you go home.
Yeah,
he's like,
Speaking of home, so I pumped out some about some centaurs, right? We got all the centaur crazy. Yeah. Everything went centaur sightings, centaur madness. Then we get this. We got some great stories, but we got this great phone call. And this is something. Tell them. You just lead into it. This is great. I dig this.
Yeah. So after we did the centaur episode, thinking that you had only uncovered a handful of stories, it turns out we got dozens of emails where people have similar sightings or they knew somebody who had a sighting. And we got a couple of voicemails. So today I'm going to be playing a recording from a guy named Jay from North Carolina. It's pretty cool. Check it out.
What's up, you guys? This is Jay from North Carolina. I got a story for you about your recent centaurs episode. My grandfather told me this story when I was younger. He grew up in a small town right outside of Brilliant, Alabama. And he was one of 12 brothers and sisters that lived on a farm there back before the Depression. But he told me the story how one summer, his family, they were sitting outside on the porch. It was hot in the house. You know, everybody was sitting out there cooling down summer evening. And they started hearing footsteps coming up the road there. And it sounded like a horse. So they were all, of course, watching to see who was going to be passing by on the horse. And as the horse approached, it stopped at the top of their driveway, and it was, I guess you would call it a centaur, half man, half horse, and it stopped and looked down the driveway at them sitting on the porch, and then they said it continued on, went on down the road, but a couple of weeks later, my grandfather's oldest brother, Byron, had actually passed away. So just a little crazy story that he told me growing up about a creature that he saw. He had some other crazy stories that he told me too growing up. But anyway, I'll just leave it at that one for now. Thanks for the show, you guys. I enjoy listening to you guys as I'm driving from Minnesota to Mississippi out on the road all the time. You guys keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
And there you go. So Dude. What do you think of that?
Well,
his grandfather, I like this, you know, in my mind, I like the way the scene is painted. Like,
yes,
you're talking a long time ago. Nobody has any central heat and air. Nobody has any TVs or radios or phones or nothing. It's hot. He's like got 12 siblings. Or
everybody's
11 siblings.
On the front
Everybody's
porch.
On the front porch at night. You picture the old oil lantern. And
now
all of a sudden
dark.
You hear a horse.
Dark, dark out there.
Coming down the driveway. And you're like, who's out here riding around at night? And then. It's a centaur.
Right.
And then it just kind of walks off. Now, what could his grandfather and all his siblings and great-grandparents, what could they have mistaken that for?
You couldn't. You can't.
Exactly.
I stutter because all I can think about is even if you saw a man riding a horse, woman, doesn't matter. Anyone horseback, whether it was bareback, saddled, doesn't matter. You could automatically tell that person was not growing out of the chest of a horse. You just like, no, that's just not. So it's like we have talked about on with like the not deer stories. Remember, is because you see that outline, that shape, and you know, it doesn't quite fit what it should, what you're seeing. Right. Like, and so I always feel like, I don't think you can misidentify a centaur. I just don't think it's possible.
Well, and again, we talk about so many times on the program when somebody has a sighting versus a group of people have a sighting for whatever reason.
Yeah.
When it's a whole group, it's, you know, more plausible to me.
Yeah.
What did they see?
Dude, can you imagine that, though, hanging out there in the middle of like, and this is way before
Alabama, small town, rural Alabama, pre-Great Depression.
Yeah. And there's a centaur comes strolling up.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
I would be scared. That's what I would be. I'd be scared.
I'm scared now. Speaking, well, as long as you're scared, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to continue this because I know how much you love the Jimmican. I want you to read you this right here because you love the human-faced dog.
Who doesn't?
Says, this is an absolutely true account. I will never, ever tell anyone about it using my real name because I know how it's going to sound. It happened in June of 1983 in the Midwestern U.S. where I live. I was 20 years old and living alone with my cat. I was just outside hanging laundry one beautiful afternoon and with my cat, who was a kitten at the time, was playing in a large basket where I could keep an eye on him. At one point, the hair on the back of my neck stood up, just out of the blue. I turned around and looked behind me, and there was nothing amiss, except my kitten had gotten out of the basket and was standing stock still looking toward the home nearby. Now, my house was next to two duplexes, which were facing the street that ran alongside. Now, between those duplexes was a wide gravel drive where people would pull in and then turn around in their carports. Now, on this gravel drive, I saw a dog. No biggie. It was facing away from me, facing that side street. And my first thought was, well, crap, it's going to go get after my cat. So I scooped up my kitten and watched the dog to make sure it left. Well, it didn't. The hair on my arms was now standing straight up, and in the middle of June, there was a chilled breeze that seemed to just come from nowhere and go right through my cotton blouse. Then the dog turned, slowly, deliberately almost. It turned and faced me, and I swear to God that this is what I saw. It was the face of a bearded man. Not just a sort of a man-like face or the face of a dog born with a deformity. No, this was the absolute face of an angry man with a full beard and his mouth was open as if it was yelling at me. But no sound came out. Now my blood simply froze in my veins and I actually threw up. Then and there, all over my fresh laundry. It seemed like forever, but it must have only been maybe 30 seconds. Now, whatever the hell that was that looked at me, freaked me out. It was only when it started walking towards me, angry mouth agape, that I was able to collect my wits and run into the house with my cat, leaving the laundry, vomit and all, in the yard. Now, I locked the doors and hid in my bathroom that had a window that looked out over my backyard, dreading seeing that thing come into my yard, but it never did. Now, after an hour or so, I grabbed a baseball bat and went back outside. I looked everywhere. The thing had gone. There's no tracks, nothing out of order. My laundry was still in the yard, having blown around a little bit, but it was all there. I never saw that thing again. I don't know what it was, and the closest thing I can find on it is a Japanese cryptid that they call the Jimmican.
Mm-hmm.
I find dog-faced men stories, but not the other way around. That was 1983. I've never told a soul about it, not even my husband, who was my fiancé at this time. Now, I know what it sounds like, and I'm completely sane, though, and I know what I saw. Even today, every time I think about it, which I try not to that often, I feel my skin crawl, and I get a bit nauseated again. Whatever that was, it felt evil. Not just scary looking, but evil. The hair on the back of my neck was standing up even before I turned around and saw him. Now, Jesus, that scared the hell out of me. But I'm never, ever telling anyone if I can't be anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous.
Wow.
So
a Jimmican.
Yeah. I love how she describes it.
I like the fact that she was so scared with the thing, she started vomiting.
Yeah.
I mean, does that ever happen to you?
No. Never been that scared. I hope I'm never that scared. But the idea of why is it that you never see beautiful women?
On the face of a dog?
Like a dog face. Like, you know, you see like these, why you got to attack bearded guys? Why I got to be an old creepy bearded guy with my mouth open as a dog face? Like, you don't ever see Selma Hayek? Like, nobody ever turns around and you're like, dang.
That's a good question.
Right? Like, it's never a hot chick? I don't understand it. Another thing I don't understand, folks, is deer man and not deer. And if you don't understand it, you're in the right place. Because when we get back from the break, I'm going to dig into a few creepy stories to share about the not deer and the deer man. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Okay, friends, let's get down to it. Another story time day, except this time we're going to be talking about, yep, that's right, dear man or not dear, something dear related, right? Going into Father's Day. Thanks, dear. We're going to do a little dear relation here. Not that kind of dear relation. We'll leave that for another story. I found some really interesting stuff after looking into the not dear a little more and then more into a few of the dear men. I found elk men sightings. Dear men, not dear. Like I have a whole pile of dear things to discuss with you good people today. So let's jump right into it. I wasn't expecting to find as much as I did from recent. Lots of times you go into this, you expect, you know, yeah, I'll probably find certain things, right? There's certain things out there that we kind of know. There's times you can pretty much plan on when these sightings are going to take place. Like it's going to be older. You might see it at certain times. It's funny, but then they start getting to be some where you didn't expect where they would show up. And this is one of them, is like, there seems to be a lot more deer man sightings and even not deer sightings than has ever been talked about. And I don't know if it's because people are more openly talking about these things because of the platforms that everyone has. I don't know if the sightings are going up or if they're just glad to know they're not crazy. If they're what they're reading and what they're hearing of the people that have had these encounters and had these sightings, that when they have this, they're not alone. And I think that helps everybody, knowing that you're not alone. So if you're in Alberta, Canada, and you've ever had a sighting of something strange that might be deer man-esque, you're not alone. There are, I'm not even 100% sure, right, how many sightings have happened up through Canada. Just like I'm not so sure. You'll read online now. Here's another thing we'll talk about. Not deer. So not deer are, I wouldn't say popular from up in Appalachia, but it is a thing where there's a lot of people up through the mountainous areas there have reported not deer sightings. What's really wild is you seem to see a lot of not deer sightings in the mountains. So this isn't not deer. This is a deer man. This took place several years ago, probably 10 or 15 years ago. A woman actually told a story up in Alberta that she lived alone, had never once thought twice about living alone, and that she liked to get up in the mornings. She liked to have her some coffee, right? That was her morning routine before she went off to work there in town. And she just had a nice little orchard in her backyard. Everything was great. You know, it's a very beautiful, picturesque thing. And she tells a story of getting up early one morning, like maybe even before the sun was all the way up, like it was just daybreak. Made her some coffee. She had big sliding glass, like bay glass doors, right? Big glass doors looking out into her backyard and down a little slope into the tree line. And she could look out over her apple trees. And there's a story that goes that she saw something in the twilight that she said looked like just that, a man, but a deer man. Now, she doesn't go into detail about, you know, did he look like half, you know, man from the waist up? You know, was he naked man all around except for his face? What it sounds like is, I'm sure we've all seen the idea of like the goat man, like an upright walking deer, but more built like a man. That's kind of what this sounds like. Is it sounds like it has the chest and the arms of a man, but that it walks upright on deer legs, and that it has a deer face and deer horns. So, yeah, this is one of those things that you talk about being caught completely off guard, and that's what happened to her. She tells the story that she looked out there, she saw this thing, and at first thought, why did somebody put a statue in my backyard? Like, what is this? What is somebody snuck it over? And so she stood there sipping coffee and staring directly at it until it blinked. And that's when she knew, oh, wait a minute. So this is real. The rest of the story goes that she said, I don't understand how it happened, but it was like a trance that this thing started walking towards me. And it walked all the way up into my backyard, onto my back porch, and stood staring through the glass directly at me. So this thing has locked eyes with her and put her in some sort of trance as it's made its way to her. And then she said, as quick as I realized, again, what happened, it's like it broke its spell or it broke its concentration. And she says, man, it just turned around and walked away. Said as walking off, it grabbed a couple of apples and made its way off into the tree line before she even had time to process what was going down. So that being said, that doesn't sound quite like the ominous deer man. Now, there's other stories that come from Alberta of a farmer had heard something getting after what he thought was his pigs, right? He hears his pigs squalling, they're raising hell, chickens, and it, you know, and that's the way it always starts on a farm or a ranch. He goes out there, grabs his shotgun, he goes out trying to find what's going on. It's not over by the pig pen. It's in the barn. He goes and wakes his son up. Son gets a gun. They come in there. They go in there. They're trying to find the way of what's going on. The cows are going crazy. Everything's acting up. They don't find anything. But as the man, the father, and the farmer is leaving, he hears something above him in the hayloft, going to investigate this, what he described as a deer man, leapt off the top of the hayloft into the inside of the barn and run out the back. Now, he says he got a shot off at it, and he don't believe he hit it, couldn't find any blood, couldn't find anything that might have led him to believe that he made contact with this creature, but that he was dead set on it had antlers, it was moving like a man, running on two legs, like you could tell that if it was a person in a suit. Said you could tell if it was a kid playing a prank or if it was someone wearing a mask or had made a hat. Like, that's not what this was. Goes on to even say, why would you do that in a barn where you know somebody out there might have a shotgun? Like, and it brings up a great point. If you were horse-assing around and maybe you were trying to, I don't know, you know, you're trying to scare somebody. You're just being a dumb kid, right? You've had a few too many to drink, whatever, you know, whatever you got, you're, I don't know, six deep in the Molson, right? And that's what you're rocking up there in Canada. And this is what goes down. You decide you're going to climb into a guy's barn. Usually if there's guns, you would be like, hey, right? Look, dude, I'm drunk. I'm just up here having a good time. I'm sorry. Just take your medicine. You wouldn't jump off of a second floor hayloft and then run out the back dressed like a deer while you know the guy's got a gun. So there's a lot of this makes you been like, what did this fella see? And that's not even where it stops. Folks, there's a lot of these. I used to not really be into Reddit. You get on Reddit, there are some really interesting things there, and it seems to be a great place where everyone can share their stories. So you go on there, you ask a few questions, you kind of poke around, you'd be surprised what people send you. Be surprised what you people send me. The things that you find and the stories that either you've shared or that you have know people that share these, and so you forward them to me. This is one of them that apparently they are starting to call these not deer, Dior, right? For not deer, which I have no idea, but this is it's something that's funny. So this took place in Virginia by someone that wrote in talking about this not deer sighting. And what they describe is this. They said most of the sightings take place. You see backward legs, odd neck joints, walking sideways, front-facing eyes, backwards heads. They can be bipedal. They're generally, they report, spotted in the Appalachian Mountains. And they said there's several areas in this part around all the Appalachians where you can go for these hot spots. I've not been able to find these hot spots, but I'm definitely going to look into more so I can try to get our amigos up there. I'll send Micah. We'll get Micah or somebody to go. We'll get Pentrol and him to go storming off into the mountains to try to find out. But so this is what one says. And it just says, you know, I live with my aunt because of my complicated family situation. And one night she'd sent me out because she was tired of listening to me pace around. I have a hard time sleeping. So I went out. Well, I called my partner and spent approximately 10 or 15 minutes sitting at a pond just talking to them before I heard a laugh and got freaked out. So I figured it might be, you know, some people camping or that it was too close to me. Maybe it was someone that was just here, heard me talking and whatnot and decided to come mess with me. But either way, we live on a Civil War battleground. So my mind instantly goes to ghosts, like always. I walked back to my house and sat on the porch, still on the call with my partner. Now, this is all unrelated to the sighting. I'm just explaining why I was on the porch. We were mostly sitting in silence until I saw a deer in the bushes next to my house. It was kind of far off, maybe only 20 foot, and most of it was behind the tree next to the bush, so all I could see really was from the shoulders up. It was staring at me, which I didn't think much of because, hey, it's wildlife, and sometimes they stare at people, right? I mean, not wrong. And I noticed that the shape of its face was off, but I figured it was, you know, I just wasn't used to seeing deer from the front as I'd only usually seen them from the side. That's a great point. The deer eventually turned its head, and I saw the reason it looked so weird, because it had dog jaws. It looked just like those pictures of horses photoshopped to have dogs' mouths, but with a deer instead. Now, it started moving towards me, and the bushes rustled really loudly from it. Now, I didn't pay much attention to how it moved because, well, obviously, I was just focused on getting inside. So I can't confirm if it had backwards joints or was walking sideways or any of that. I had to hang up the phone once I got inside because I wasn't supposed to be, you know, on calls or talking when everyone else was asleep. But over text, my partner confirmed that they heard the bushes and what sounded like galloping before I closed the door. Now, I don't know if anyone else has seen a not deer or a Dior with a jaw like that. But I have heard and read that some of these are described as such, and I was curious if anyone has ever even seen a not deer. So that's very interesting. Well, there is a story that responded to that several months ago, and there was another sighting in upstate New York. A young lady had slowed down because they had saw deer, right? Waiting, okay, well, they're going to cross the street. Got up to realize that what they had seen had the body of a deer but resembled the head of a dog. And said when they turned around to run afterwards or beforehand, they were just legitly staring her down the entire time, which is not surprising for whitetail. You drive by them, lots of times they're trying to assess whether you are a threat and whether they should put forth the effort to run or stay put and browse, right? But said, she goes on to say that these deer dogs, or not deer, whatever, that were built funny like that, ran like greyhounds. I'm not saying it was greyhounds, but I guess given a certain color, a certain darkness, I mean, I guess you could possibly maybe mistaken it for greyhounds, but, you know, a deer or, you know, greyhounds for deer or vice versa, I don't know. I mean, a greyhound head, I mean, that would be a big, I mean, a deer head's pretty good size, just different shape compared to dogs. So I guess you could make that, but I mean, the gait. And you would think if it's a dog, it would run like a dog. Like they don't, deer and dogs don't necessarily run the same. Was it leg length? Who knows what caused it? But it does seem like this person in upstate New York had seen something relatively unexplainable involving deer and these dog heads or something that aren't normal deer shape. I found another one I think you're going to enjoy from Delaware. Took place near the Pennsylvania line. Says, I was 10 years old and visiting my paternal grandparents. Now, they lived deep back in the woods, and I always hated it there. It felt like something was always watching and was always eerily quiet, like not even crickets chirping. Well, my little brother and I shared a bed in one room on the ground floor. My brother would sleep at one end, his head against the window or the wall there, and I would be on the other facing the window. Well, on this particular morning, I woke up first. The sun was brilliant, making the room gold through the curtains. And there, a silhouette against the window, was a deer with the biggest rack of antlers I had ever seen. It was right there, like almost pressed against the window in profile. And all I could do was stare in awe. And that is when it changed. In one smooth movement, it reared up on its hind legs, and it was no longer a deer, but now a man. There were only two men in the area, my grandfather and my father, and it was clearly neither. And I'm not sure if that really made it better or worse. My grandfather was very built for his age, and my dad had a beer gut. Now, this silhouette was clearly younger, muscular, but not in the like a brick way my grandfather was. It exuded strength, and to be honest, it scared the hell out of me. It stared to the side for a moment and then strode off like with purpose. And I don't know exactly what I saw. I want to believe it was just the groggy mind of a half-awake kid. But I can still remember the fear slicing into me. I remember the feeling of something being out there. And I like how they point that out. And that's something that I don't ever think about. And I'm not sure that we do all the time, is when your gut instinct, right? They always tell you, follow your gut, trust your instincts. Can your instincts be fooled? I guess I know the fight or flight, that I know you can overreact. There are people, I used to work with a gentleman that was terrified of snakes. And if you even laid a piece of rope or hose, anything snake shaped, out on the ground around him, he would instantly notice that shape and almost have a panic attack. Like, he would run, he would squeal, he would jump. I mean, this guy would freak out before he even knew if it was a real snake. Like, you didn't even have to have a fake rubber snake. Literally 16 inches of rope and you could give him a heart attack. So I know that the fear based like that, you could easily, a shape could scare you. I get it. Like, I'm afraid of the shape of a shark, right? Like, I just don't like the whole idea of these things. I'm just wondering, though, when you see the shape of something familiar, much like whenever people talk about interviewing serial killers, that you know what you've done, or there's certain people, men and women, that just give off a very, very eerie vibe. Like, you know, you always hear, women are like the notorious for it, right? Is they were like, we were in a club, and this guy just gave off a real creeper vibe, right? They just know it. And that's like that instinctual feeling. I feel like children, like we always talk about children being brutally honest, children may have more of that. They may have a little bit more of that turned up. So what I'm getting at is, we never take into consideration what your body tells you. That fear. Could it have been a half-awake child? Yes, very easily. That could have easily explained it. But the fact that your body reacted that way, and that still just burned into your mind of the fear, I think we discredit that all too often. There's something else here that came from another place in the U.S. about, and it's a farmhouse. Now, granted, another giant window, and it's kind of the same thing. It says that they had been staying in a loft apartment, had a giant window facing out over this property out in the country. And what they'd gone on to say, that I was just sitting in for the night with my little lantern. This person was 12 at the time and was going to read a book when something passed by the window. I shrugged it off as a reflection of the car going by, and I started reading my book. Well, it happened again. And this time, of course, I get up and I go to the window. Now, this is where it gets weird, y'all. Standing in the middle of the yard was a deer. Now, it stood on its hind legs, and its neck was bent at an odd angle, like it had been broken or something. And it walked with a strange grace, especially for something that appeared to be so out of place. Through the grass, it strolled across the road and disappeared into the woods. At no point, now get a load of this, during this sighting, was I afraid. I was actually very calm. Somehow, I don't know how, and even went to my sleeping bag and went back to reading, not even thinking about what I had just seen, which is very out of character for me. I'm the type to get worked up over seeing a bug in the house. Well, the next morning, I told my mother what I saw, and she seemed totally unaffected. She just told me not to tell anyone and sent me off to school. I assume she thought I was seeing things due to the stress of the fire that we had left our house in, but I know exactly what I saw, and I was not dreaming or even close to falling asleep when it happened. Now, we moved to our new house about 3 weeks after I saw this deer man. I have only told a few people about what happened, and I've never seen anything like that since. But I'm terrified now of going into the woods. And when I think about it, well, it's super scary, and I don't understand why I was so calm. Well, that's a really interesting story. Like we discussed, could it have been much like the woman in the first story when this thing made eye contact with her? Could it have been a trance? Did this thing know that it was being watched? Did it make, you know, enough eye contact? Does it have that? Is it your body in shock? Is it your psyche in such shock that it doesn't, you can't process what you see? So you can't overreact to something that you can't possibly understand. It's very odd. So you don't know. Is it a power that these things have? Do they, it doesn't feel like it, right? It doesn't feel like it's fae. But for some reason, I always feel the need to label it fae, especially when it's natural. You know, it's not like a shadow being or, you know, something. It's more deer. It's wood. So you would think, okay, well, it's got to be fae. Here's one from Boy Scout camping trip that a fella wrote called New Type. And it says, on this evening, they were talking about, they went on a short hike. And they were walking through a little wooded area that surrounded a cornfield. And that this cornfield was actually had been cut, more like a stubble field, right? Been harvested out. This is what they go on to say, that we see a thing that we assumed was a deer. But the problem with that was the smell. This thing reeked like a rotting corpse. And we could hear this very heavy breathing, almost distressed, coming from this deer. Well, what had us initially think it was a deer was because, well, it had antlers on its head. Now, of course, we make some noise to scare whatever it is away, right? We got to get it out of here, screaming, whatever this is. Making just a general nuisance of ourselves. But this thing stands up on two scrawny legs. Now, we think that it had hooves, but we're not sure. And it looks right at us. And we can see its eyes are like black pools because the moonlight is shining off of them like a headlight in its eyes. And when we saw all this, everything around us went dead silent. We couldn't hear any breathing. We couldn't hear any natural nature noises. Nothing. Now, this thing looked to be 6 or 7 foot tall. It was hunched over. It had pale skin and patches of fur like an animal with mange. But it was lanky, like a deer. But imagine a deer with a very elongated face. And I love this little saying here. It lets out a cataclysmic sounding howl. It was like a woman, a man, and a dying rabbit screaming all at the same time. I remember every single hair on my body standing on end. We were frozen in fright. And it begins to move towards us in a creepy, shuddering motion. Like it was a sickly robot. And of course, we scream and take off running in the woods towards the campfire, or the big bonfire that the adults were there going. Now, I remember glancing backwards while running. Shouldn't have done it, but I did. And I look back and I see myself in front of my best friend, and I can see that this thing is gaining on us. Its arm swung as if it had strings tied to a nail with the very visible fingers on its hands. So it's dancing along, and it seemed to have many fingers, now that I think about it. Now, the huffing sound it made and the stench coming off of it was getting stronger, so we knew it was getting closer. Now, we finally make it back to the fire, and we see that this thing is no longer right behind us. And the adults start asking us what's wrong and why do we look so scared. They heard the howl, and thinking it was us messing around. So we ended up moving our tents, which was basically just plastic sheeting at the time, over by the adults' campsite and the bonfire to be safe. Now the adults, standing watch all night to make sure there's no rabid animals or crazy people in the woods to come get us. But this was by far the most scariest thing I've ever had to go through. And I had never heard of this thing until recently. So this person experienced it several years ago. I don't get the rotting smell. Usually we have that dealt in with Bigfoot, right? So y'all all know how much I love the fact of, you know, used to always pry on cryptozoology news. Get a load of this. Another one from that website reported that around dusk, a 14-year-old was playing hide and seek at his cousin's house near Wooded Creek when they go on to claim that they heard the sounds of leaves crunching under feet. They had turned around expecting to see his cousin, but instead saw a deer through the brush and what appeared to be oddly standing on spindly hind legs. Very unusual for a deer, they report. But what proves even stranger than that is this. It was getting dark, and I was the one searching. I heard leaves crumpling, and when I turned to look, I saw what I thought was a deer, but on its hind legs. I clearly remember seeing dog legs running, but the rest of the body was straight up, and it ran with incredible speed. And I knew it wasn't either of my cousins hiding. So I ran as fast as I could to get back to the house, and one of my cousins was running in too. He had seen the same thing. It still creeps me out to this day because my uncle always told us how he had seen weird things his whole life on this property. So there, we've got somebody playing a little hide and seek, stumbles across. Now, you like the idea? Dog legs. I don't understand the whole dog leg thing, right? Like, so they're not bent the way deer legs bend. So now you got dog legs, but a deer body. So crazy. Here's one that took place in Delaware in 93, 8-year-old. Same type of thing. Saw something outside, looked to be out in the yard, right at, said, I guess morning time, like peak morning hours. It's sunny. Says, look, what we saw was clearly, or what I saw was clearly a man with deer legs and a deer head. Like a suit almost, but that's what I saw clear as day, this person reports. Same thing. Middle, you know, this thing was outside. What's weird is the one thing about this story, it's around a field. Now, you remember the other one was around a cornfield. We start, this one is like tree line, field, you know, brush line. They linger right in there, which is it lingering or is it the fact that that's just where we see them, right? We're not in the woods, so all we see is edge of woods. That's the only way you see it, right? There's always the edge of something. So that's how you would pick this out. This was very interesting to me. From Lame Deer Mountain, Montana, 1986, took place one evening. It said, in the Northern Cheyenne Reservation, three young cousins were playing hide-and-seek in the hills behind their grandmother's house, about 150 yards from the house, when one of the cousins was heard screaming. This cousin had been alone further up the hill, and immediately the other two went running to his location to see what was going on. Suddenly, they saw her come running down the hill, yelling. Says, he is coming, he is coming. And then they all looked to see what appeared to be, get a load of this, a little green fella, right? Now, this is what gets strange. They talk about what seems to be somewhat of a green alien. That's kind of what they start describing as they get into this. So started chasing after her. So they all take off, this little green man. So the grandmother hears this screaming. She comes out on the back porch, sees the kids running, brings them, sees the little man chasing them. When the little green man reaches a point near the house, it just stops and stood there staring at the house. Like it was almost as surprised to see it as it was them, right? The little green guy then stands there watching the house on the periphery until dark. That's disturbing. So they get the rest of the family, bring them over to the house. So I guess they're putting up a defensive, right? We're going to wait up all night. If this guy comes in, we're going to bust his head. That's how this goes down. Nothing after that, right? Nothing. He just vanished. The locals, they start telling people, they're like, hey, look, what's going on with this little green guy? Are we seeing this stuff in there? And they're like, hey, what do you hear this story? Around the time y'all were dealing with the little green guy, there was another group camping just a few hills over. And they said they were back over in a valley and they start seeing rocks and boulders start falling and rolling down the hill on these guys camping. They said there was suddenly a big rock was thrown, lands right by their fire, rolls up, kind of spreads the fire. They end up having to put the thing out. They said at this point, the men decide they're going to leave. So they just grab their stuff. They're getting out of here. They're like, we don't know what's happening at this moment. They turn around to see what they described was a bipedal deer man. Said he had human torso, but a deer head and antlers. And they say that this thing was extremely agile, that it was running through the rocks, jumping down the cliff, coming down that whole thing, and stopped and stood over the remains of their campfire. So it doesn't say, of course, if it was glowing embers. It doesn't say all that. But it says that that's what they had ended up seeing there. Completely wild story. Throwing rocks. So again, now it makes me wonder, is the rock throwing from Bigfoot? Is the rock throwing from the deer man himself? And then I come across this one I want to leave you with. And this is a very strange thing. For those, I don't know if I've ever discussed it. I may have done a couple of news stories about it from time to time. I'm not sure. About the red flannel man. There's a lot of tales about red flannel men and people sighting these mysterious men. Like Paul Bunyan, right? Dressed like the fellow off the Bounty paper towel roll. This was a very interesting tale I got from my buddy Lon. And I think you're going to enjoy this. It says, two of my friends and I were driving south along along Route 27 between Westminster and Mount Airy, Maryland. We're headed to a skate park. Now, this road has huge views of vast fields and farmlands, so you can see pretty far on either side. I was sitting in the back. My friend's riding shotgun, but didn't see any of this. He's generally unobservant anyway, so I won't be mentioning him any further. The driver was my friend visiting from serving in the Navy for 4 years. This was his first time home since high school. Now, this dude is what you could easily call a stick in the mud. A straight-up government brainwashed soldier who lost his identity and personality in the service. He takes no crap and will physically be angered by me and my friends joking around or talking about aliens or any type of paranormal or conspiracy stuff. He will straight up tell you that nothing exists except us and the Earth. Yeah, right. Until this particular day. So we're driving down this road and I'm staring out looking at the scenery and I see a man in the middle of a field. There's that field again, y'all. Completely catches my eye. Since the fields are so empty and plowed this time of year. He's just chilling in a field, staring into the sky, maybe 150 yards off the road. Far enough that you can't make out any distinct features, but close enough that you know there's a 6-foot-tall dude in a red flannel jacket in the middle of this field. I never took my eyes off of him, and I looked at him for maybe a long second or two as we drove past. But in the seconds as we came parallel to him and to pass him, it was no longer a 6-foot-tall man, it was a deer. A straight-up, white-tailed deer. There was no transformation. It didn't drop half-size and become a deer. It was just a man, and then it wasn't. In the blink of an eye. Now, I can't explain it any further. It just changed instantly, like a film special effect. Well, I sat there for a second, pondering what I just saw. I almost didn't want to say anything since I figured they'd laugh at me, thinking that my Navy friend would get mad and tell me I was stupid. But I noticed the car was in a weird silence, and at that very moment. So I'm going to break this awkward silence. So I said, dude, I swear I just saw the weirdest thing a minute ago. And my Navy friend, dead straight face, said, was it a guy standing out in the field in all red that randomly turned into a deer? My jaw literally hit the floor. I said, you saw that shit too? He said, yeah. I wasn't even going to say anything because it seemed so ridiculous. But when you mentioned something weird, I knew you must have seen it also. We talked plenty about how it was a tall guy in a red flannel jacket and how it wasn't a transformation. It was almost like a pure switch in thin air. We don't get to talk much since he's serving in Greece, but he tells me his bunk buddies get all freaked out every time he tells the story, and they don't really believe him. They just laugh. Now, I'm still a misfit, and I carry the story to tons of skate parks and parties and hangouts. No one ever believes me until I say, well, Joey was there, and he saw it too. Then they instantly stop laughing and say, Joey said he saw this thing? We all know he has no fun or imagination. So the fact that we saw the same thing at the same time blows my mind. And it was one of those craziest, or maybe the craziest experience I've had in my life. When I get asked, or I ask him, if he believes there's more to the world, he still says no. Of course, I say yes. But even after that experience, he says there's an explanation. But the red flannel jacket just makes the whole thing so irreversible. We clearly saw such a strange phenomenon. So there is something, folks. I want you to wrap your heads around that. The fact that not one person could misidentify a deer. Not one person could misidentify, you know, a man in a red flannel jacket. Of course they could. But two people misidentifying the exact same thing? The exact same thing. You get one, yeah, for both. Yeah, I mean, we've all done it. But two people? I'm sure it's happened. I mean, in 150 yards, I mean, it's not like it's right next to you, right? I mean, that's a pretty good little clip. You could probably misidentify stuff. But you all know the shape of a man, and you all know the color's red. Well, most of us do. And, you know, and a deer, and I don't know any way that the light could shine on the coat of a deer and make it look like a man, or the way the light could shine on the coat of a man wearing a red flannel jacket and make him look like a deer. It either happened or it didn't. And it seems like this is one of those overlaps. And I just wonder now, going with that, going with what we know with the not deer and the deer man, it does seem like there may be some, I'm going to say it, some fae nonsense involved. Folks, that's a few tales of not deer slash deer man slash fey deer slash I don't know what else. Transforming flannel, red flannel deer man. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed looking into it and bringing it to you. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap this baby up. Folks, you're listening to Expanded Perspectives. That's right. We're back.
Yes.
What do you think, man? It's wild, right?
Man, I have.
Now, I know they're not the same thing before everybody gets all bent out of shape. I get that. Right. But we're just.
But they're in the same family.
Together.
Same
I think
family,
so.
Right?
I think so. Yeah.
Not deer, deer man, Wendigos. To me, it's all it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Just a different name. Some people call it a burrito. Some people call it a wrap.
That's right.
It's the same thing.
It's funny. I guess, is there every, I mean, like, because we have done tales on Glimmer Man, Otter Man, you know, now we got Deer Man, Elk Man, Dog Man, Moth Man. I mean, there's all of these.
So does He-Man. There's He-Man, Beast Man.
Yeah.
Merman.
Man at Arms.
What was the skunk guy? Remember him? Stinkor?
Oh, Stinkor maybe. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Everything's
yeah.
a man.
Yeah.
You're right. They always just throw.
I don't understand. I don't get it. But the whole idea of it still feels, and like I discussed, it feels fey. Anytime you get into some sort of animal like that, I go one of two ways, man. I feel like skinwalkers or fairies. I don't know which way to go with it. But it's like the Wendigo looks scary. These things don't have the crazy wild Wendigo looks. They look, well, more elegant, I guess, if you will. They don't really, now, not the not deer. The not deer look a little disturbing. But, I mean, even these deer men don't seem to be as menacing like the one lady that had it come up to her house. It almost doesn't seem like it emanates the menacing feel like you get from other animals.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to a centaur, but it's a deer body, yeah, an elk.
So crazy, right? It's crazy.
Yeah. Even a big one's an Irish elk.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of centaurs, that first recording we played from Jay took place that his grandfather saw back in rural Alabama. I got another story from a listener from Alabama. Check this out. It says, hey, guys, I've got a story for y'all. Back in 2006, I was a lieutenant with with the sheriff's office in Alabama. I was responding to a call of a large white subject attacking a dog in the area and also hitting and damaging multiple vehicles. I told dispatch that I was nearby and I would be heading in that direction immediately. As I proceeded to the address at a high rate of speed, with my lights and sirens in full effect, I started to think about what I was about to encounter, try to prepare myself. I thought that perhaps it could be a meth-crazed Klansman or something, as the description, remember, was something large and white attacking people's vehicles and dogs. As I approached the area in my squad car, I saw a large white object that crossed the road on two legs. It crossed a two-lane highway in only three steps. I then jumped out of the car to give chase to what I thought was a person. I was about 30 yards from it when I realized that what I was chasing wasn't human. It was about 6'8" and had to weigh around 320 pounds or more.
Goodness.
It had a very strong build to it. It looked like a husky.
That's like my baby cousin Jacob.
It looked like a husky in the face, but the rest, Cam, was human.
Now, he doesn't look husky, but he's like, he's 6'7", weighs 318.
It screamed at me with a scream that started like a roar that ended in a howl. I pulled my service weapon, and it was gone. Now, I've been a researcher of all things cryptids.
Whoa. The service weapon was gone?
No, the creature.
Oh, the creature was gone.
The creature was gone, not the weapon.
Thank goodness. I'd have discharged the weapon.
I've been a researcher of cryptids since I was 18, and I've never seen anything like this. Thanks for all you do. Love the show. Michael. Well, Michael, thanks for your service.
Wowzers.
In the beginning of your tale, it reminded me of some of these white Sasquatch sightings,
yeah.
These albino-looking Sasquatch sightings. But then you give the description of a dog man, like a husky's head, but a human's body.
Man.
And large and huge.
Huge.
So huge. What was that? Again, here in Alabama. So, you know, Alabama seems like a pretty rough place.
Well, but it's wild, and all in Alabama are wild, and I'm going to have to look more into some of that stuff. I have to find out. I need to do a cryptid classroom over some crazy stuff in Alabama.
Yeah, I've driven through Alabama. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
But maybe there's centaurs and dogmen running amok. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I'm out. I'm good on that whole deal. Folks, I know it probably doesn't matter to anybody out there but me and maybe this guy sitting next to me, but this time next week, I'll be a grandpa.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I think it's probably going to be a girl.
I think so, too. I really do. I have that feeling like that's what it – and I hope so because I'm going to teach her to cuss like a sailor, and I'm going to ruin this one. I've worked pretty hard about ruining my daughter, making her something else. So my granddaughter's going to be a handful. I can already feel. So it's going to be good times. But yeah, I'm pretty pumped, man. I can't wait.
So be looking for that on Instagram,
yep,
and stuff like that. You'll be posting.
Oh, yep. I'll be hanging out. And like I said, I got my name. They've already decided. Of course, your grandkids get to pick your name, but they want the grandkids to call me Grumps.
I think that's fitting.
I think so. So I'll just have to go with it. So folks, thank you all so much for sending in all the stories that you have. Literally, we've been inundated. And look, to be honest with you, sometimes we go through dry spells where you'll send in stories and we'll get phone calls and all, and then we may not get anything literally, but like a trickle, one or two here or there for 2 or 3 weeks.
And then
like
it'll just flood. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom. And it's like always it seems after like Glimmer Man or even Dog Man, a few of these centaurs like this, we get some really strange stories. We're putting some together because we have some other strange stuff coming. Like we had joked about, you know, I made a joke one time about Coyote Man. Well, turns out somebody had seen something along those lines. So we have a few more really interesting stories and a really cool, unusual encounter coming video form of a black-eyed kid sighting. So I'll just turn that over. If you have any awesome stories, right? If you just want to call in and say, hey, guys, sounds like, well, you know, what you're doing, anything that you're saying, call us, right? Just get on there, punch it in. It's 1-888-393-2783. 1-888-393-BRUD, B-R-U-D. Real easy, real simple. Just pick up the phone, dial it, holla at your boys.
That's right. And if you're listening to this on your podcast catcher of choice, YouTube, it doesn't matter. If you have a story and you want to send it to us and you don't feel like calling in and telling it, email us. expandedperspectives at yahoo.com. Make it as long and thorough as possible.
Yeah.
It's much easier to trim some of the fat off of a story than if you send something in and it's three sentences long. You know
what
I mean?
Leave it to me and I'll make it up. I'll make something crazy happen out of it. I'll give you wings. Give us, mess around with me.
Give us the details. Give us the time of day, time of year, where it took place. I mean, you don't have to give, I understand you don't want to give out your real name or cities. You don't have to be that thorough, but just tell us all the details. Was it a cloudy night? Was it a star-filled night? Was it a new moon?
Give us the state. If you got to get, just give us the state.
Yeah, what you ate for dinner. I want to know everything that happened that day.
Pretend that you're filling out a resume. That's what I want. Yeah, exactly.
But all jokes aside, your stories are what helped the show. It's awesome, and we love hearing from you. Don't forget about expandedperspectives.com, the website. You can go over there and sign up for Elite. Till next time, folks, be safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.